going to look at this word Acts as we move through these events which took place in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we're not going to do all the Acts of the Apostles. We'd be here all morning and all afternoon if we did all of them. But particularly those ones which we see in the scripture lesson that was read for us this morning. Several great events occur in the days of the early church. In fact, the whole book of Acts is a book of, if you will, a book of miracles about what happened after Jesus died, about what happened to a group of followers who thought that his death represented the end and had not yet begun to discover that his death actually represented a beginning. But as they realized that they had the power that Jesus had given them, they began to do the same marvelous things that he had done. So it is that when we look at the scripture lesson, we see in there very early how they healed people, they were strengthened in the faith, the church grew in great numbers. I'm going to suggest to you in the sermon that these great events and other great events like them came because of the acts of discipleship. Now, we probably all have an understanding of what we mean when we talk about discipleship. Discipleship is being like the disciples in the days of the early church, to be proclaimers of the word, to be healers, to be people who baptized and converted others who had not yet found the grace to follow Jesus Christ. These were all acts of the disciples, all acts of discipleship. And I think when you and I think of discipleship, we think of our, if we want to be like disciples, of our doing something, of saying to friends and neighbors, why don't you come to church with me? Or having a campaign that the church goes through the communities and hands out flyers talking about the church or telling about the church. Or perhaps teaching a Sunday school class or leading in worship. We think of all of these as acts of discipleship, of sharing our faith with others. I certainly would not dispel that attitude for any of us. Those are acts, A-C-T-S in the small letters, of discipleship. They are things that we do. But I want to tell you that there's a basis for the things that you and I do as the church. There's a basis for us being here. There's a basis for the clergy who serve you and the many lay persons who do so many things for the church and for the community. There's a basis for that. And I think that the basis for our being the church, the basis for all that we do in the church, the basis for who we are and what we are, what we do, is founded in the gift of prayer. Now, these acts of the disciples in the early church, the acts that we hope to perform in this day and time in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those acts have their roots in prayer. So this is really a sermon about prayer. And prayer is action. It is you and me talking to God. More importantly, it's you and me listening to God. Yes, listening is an activity as well, as well as speaking. And I believe that discipleship has its basis in prayer. How do you feel if, as you go out and you share the good news with someone, or you go into the community, or you help a youngster to read his or her Bible? How do you feel about that? Do you feel that God is undergirding you, that somebody in the congregation is praying for you? They may not even know you, and yet they're praying for you. Do you have, you and I have that sense of being strengthened as disciples because we know that behind our obvious actions, There is the less obvious action of prayer. Prayer is acting. Prayer is our talking to God and our listening to God. But it's in a particular way. And I want to say to you that the actions that we do as the people of God begin in the prayers of the people of God. The prayers that we share in worship, the prayers that we share privately, the prayers that we share in study groups, in support groups, the prayers that we share around hospital beds and funeral services, all of this supports the action of discipleship, of our serving, all supported by prayer. Now, I should have had this printed out. So, but I'm going to depend on you to hold on to these letters if you feel that they're important. The acts of prayer. Acts begins with adoration. We begin our prayers, hopefully, by saying to God, God, we love you, we thank you, we rejoice in you, we know that you are with us. We magnify and praise your holy name. That's the part of adoration. The disciple begins by praising God. The Psalms, even though they are not New Testament, they're cherished by the New Testament church, but the Psalms are filled with acts of praise. Almost every psalm has in it, if not at the beginning, some act of praise saying, God, who we are and what we are depends upon you. And we praise your name, we magnify and glorify your name because of what you do for us. Do you remember those wonderful moments when Mary, the mother of Jesus, learned that she was going to be this special child, that she was going to give birth to a special child? She went into the temple, and what did she do? She prayed. My soul does magnify and glorify the Lord for the acts, with small letters, that you have done for me in bringing this great blessing to me. What a wonderful gift it was that she shared with us. She was praising God. She was showing her adoration for God, her acknowledgement that who she was and what she was not just all about her. It was all about her and her relationship with God. And who you are and who I am and what we do has a lot to do with us. But ultimately, who we are and what we are and what we do in our lives is dependent upon the acknowledgement that we are dependent upon the gift and grace of Almighty God. My soul magnifies the Lord and glorifies and praises his name for what he has done. Great things he has done. Or the healing of Peter in Acts chapter 3. Healing this man to the point that the man, when he was healed, he was lying beside the road. He could not walk. He couldn't do much of anything. And Simon Peter came along and said to him, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to you, walk. I say to you that you are healed. This man, strengthened by that prayer, not only walked, but according to the scriptures, he jumped up and he praised God. And then went, as far as we know, running down the road, continuing his praises of God. This healing was an act of discipleship on the part of Peter. He was doing something. He was healing someone. But it, brothers and sisters, it had its foundation in prayer. Peter prayed for that man and laid hands on him, and he was healed. There's a particular phrase out of the Psalms that I like to remember. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the acts of discipleship. Discipleship has its foundation in prayer and God's gift and graces that he's granted to us. Acts, A, adoration, C, confession. But when we come to God, we come and have to acknowledge that we have sinned. We all sin regularly, I think. I think that's where we all are. I know where I am. And I know there are things that I say and do and things that I don't say and I don't do, and they constitute sins. There are thoughts that I have that constitute a sin. But we have this opportunity to confess our sins. And part of this whole business of building our discipleship, of being good disciples, to go out into this community and into the world, has within it the concept of confession. I am a sinner. God, forgive me for my sins. God, help me to forgive others of the sins they commit against me. Help me to confess, not just to you, Lord, but to go to the person whom I've hurt, whom I've injured, and say to them, I know that I hurt you. I know that what I did was wrong. Will you forgive me? And when we do that, brothers and sisters, we are being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about adoration, we're talking about confession, and we're talking about thanksgiving. That's that third capital letter, thanksgiving. Let us never miss the opportunity to say the words, thank you, to one another. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for this idea that you gave me. Thank you for coming to help me. But the same relationship that we should have with our fellow human beings, we need to have with God. God, what I have and what I am and the blessings of my life, and I've had many blessings in my life, continue to have blessings in my life. We acknowledge that what we have and what we are, what we're able to do, what we avoid doing that we shouldn't do, deserve your thanks. Deserve the fact that you have blessed me mightily. So it is then that we come to this time, and we do indeed give thanks. Remember the man who was healed, who jumped up and went about proclaiming his praise of God and giving thanks that he who could no longer walk was able to walk again. The paralysis was gone, the limitations were gone, and he thanked God. Do you remember the wonderful story that the wonderful word that Jesus spoke? He had healed 10 lepers. Leprosy was a terrible, terrible illness in biblical times. It has been since controlled by modern medication, but it was a terrible, terrible event. It eventually took a person's life, but it took a long time doing it, and it was just terrible. And Jesus was preaching one day, and they said to him, "Good master, there are people here who have a great illness." And they brought before him 10 people who were stricken with leprosy, some of them unable to see, some of them unable to walk by themselves, to move their fingers and their hands. And Jesus healed each and every one of those lepers. And they, like the man whom Simon Peter healed, they jumped up, ran out into the streets, and began to shout and rejoice. That's good. That's praise. That's adoration. And then one of them remembered the man who had healed him. And he came back and thanked him. Jesus made a very strong response to that. "I'm glad you've come, but where are the other 9? They had forgotten to give thanks for what they had. One came back and shared with that agent for God's power and God's grace and God's glory. Let us never forget the gifts that we have, the gifts that we receive from our fellow human beings, the gifts with which we were born. I would have loved to have been born with your sense of tempo. I could no more sit up here and do that than make the sun shine at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it just wouldn't be. We're born with certain gifts and graces. That did not happen to be one of mine. But never stop giving thanks for what we have. This is part of discipleship. If somebody hears you say, oh, I'm thankful for this or I'm thankful for that, you're planting a seed or receiving a seed, as the case may be. That, look at who I am. Look at what I have. Look at the gifts and graces that I have. Look at the health I've had or the healing that I've had. Did I thank God? Was I the one who came back, who comes back and says regularly, thank you, God? That's discipleship, folks. So we're talking about adoration, and we're talking about confession, and we're talking about thanksgiving. And now we'll talk about that S word. That S word is supplications. This is discipleship too. Supplications, it means that we ask for something. God does not tire of us asking, I don't believe. God is, when we are troubled, when we are distressed, when we are in need, God is waiting for us to come to him and say, help me, Lord. Help me with this illness. Help me with finding a job. Help me with doing well in school. Help me in helping my family to grow in grace and goodness. Folks, sometimes as preachers we've said, well, maybe we ask too much. This is not one of those times that I'm going to say that to you. And I probably shouldn't say it at any other time. Our asking God for what we need is never too much for God. I believe we have that relationship with God, that he's there and he's waiting. We don't always get what we want, but God is there to receive our prayers of supplication. Go ahead and ask. Ask for what you need. And I think that it's a truism, I know, for us to say, and pulpiteers do it all the time, it's a truism for us to say, oh, well, God always answers our prayers, not just the way we want them answered. And we shouldn't always be asking God and expecting God to do something. I think the very fact that God sent his son into the world says to us that God is ready to do for us all that we need. Maybe not in the way we want. God is ready to do for us all that we need in every way. Now, part of this business of supplication is that not only should we ask for ourselves, and that's all right, but we should ask for others as well. We should have a prayer list, and people should know that when we say to them, perhaps we're at a funeral service or hearing about an illness, and when we people should believe that when we say to them, I'll pray for you, that we really do pray for them. That's a supplication. That's prayer. And so it is that God invites us to open our hearts and our lives and our needs, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. So that when we say to people, I'll pray for you, they know that we're going to do it. They're going to be on our prayer list someplace. And the supplications that we make, I must tell you, are not always answered in the way that we think they ought to be. On the last night of Jesus' life, having kept the Passover meal with his disciples, he went out into the garden to pray, to perform this act of prayer. And he who had no sin engaged in this act of discipleship, if you will. He who called disciples himself was a disciple. And he knelt in prayer, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then what else did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's supplication. That's also confidence in the power of the God who created him and who created us. Thy will be done. Brothers and sisters, these acts that we perform, we might say, well, I'm not doing anything for somebody just by praying for them to have a meal or to praying for them to be healed, but we are. And that mystery of prayer, it's an act of discipleship, it's an act of reaching out, and it's an act perhaps of opening a door to the power and the glory and the grace of God. These are the acts of discipleship. Fellow disciples, we are called to this time of discipleship. I hope, as I said, I should have done this before, but maybe if you have a few minutes, maybe before you go out, you'll grab a bulletin and a pencil and put down there ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Go out then and be a disciple of the life of prayer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.
There's the act of giving. At this time, we will receive the offering. Will the ushers come forward, please?